I've been called the songwriter's songwriter. I don't know what that means, but I think it means I haven't sold very many records. This year, me and my Expos hat have been on Letterman, Leno, and Kilbourne. When I'm not playing on TV, I hang out at home and I write incredible songs. At least people tell me they're incredible. I just think they're songs.
I've given singing lessons to Alanis Morissette. I've driven across Canada about 6,000 times. I've left Ottawa for LA and worked with some of the creme de la creme of the music business. Then I came back home where I made a record with my friends and earned a Juno. I've had record deals in America and Europe, and now I'm 46 years old and I just signed my first Canadian record deal. Wonder if I can get a Grammy before I'm 50.
Live from Studio 40 in the brand new Ottawa Broadcast Centre, this is Fuse. Here's Amanda Putz.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fuse today. This is the show where we handpick two of Canada's juiciest, ripest songwriters, throw them in a blender, toss in a little, you know, something to juice it up. In this case, it's a live studio audience, and then see how their songs taste. It's kind of a song smoothie, if you will. And you heard a little about our flavors of the week in the opening montage there. But for this hometown crowd in Ottawa, today's artists need no introduction. Music lovers in Studio 40 and everywhere else in Canada, please welcome Jim Bryson and Lynn Miles. I think they like you guys. Something tells me. Now, Lynn and Jim, neither of you are strangers to this studio. You've been on Go, both of you. You've been on the drive home shows. But Lynn, have you ever seen this many people on Spark Street after 6 o'clock at night?
No, I haven't. It's fantastic.
It's good to see you. Now, Jim, you were teasing a little bit in your opening statement there about being on late night television. You weren't actually playing your songwriter songs. What were you doing on those shows?
I have vicarious success through Kathleen Edwards.
Playing some guitar and piano on her songs. Yeah. Excellent. So you've been touring madly across this country, south of the border and everywhere else.
Not much in Canada, actually. Mostly in the States and in Europe so far.
But so no sleeping in Toronto on this tour yet?
No, in fact, I was just thinking about that song and I haven't played it all year and I don't know. I don't even know if I'll remember it, but I should. I played it about 1,000 times, just not this year, really.
Well, can we see how you do? Put you to the test?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Jeez, it's funny how time flies and you don't even remember your songs and you only have two records out. Well, I got tired of sleeping in Toronto, and I got tired of telling all my friends that I want to go home. And I got tired of telling you I miss you, and I got tired of never really knowing what I should do. But honey, you can tell all of your friends I won't be home again, not for anyone. And I got tired of telling you I love you, and I got tired of never really knowing what I should do. But you see, I was tired, and right from the very start I got tired of watching you all and just falling apart. And honey, you can't tell all of your friends that I won't be home again, not for anyone. Ba ba da ba da 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 da, ba 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 da 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 da, ba
And honey, you can tell all of your friends I won't be home again, not for anyone. You see, I got tired of sleeping in Toronto, and I got tired of telling all my friends that I want to go home. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-da-da-ba, I want to go home. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-da-da-ba, I want to go home. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-da-da-ba. I got tired of hearing I don't miss you. I got tired of hearing I don't miss you. And I got tired of hearing I don't miss you when all of your friends think that I don't even love you.
Lovely Jim Bryson, sleeping in Toronto, from Northside Benches. It's like riding a bike, right, Jim? How does it feel to be back performing your own song?
It's good. For a while, I thought the break was good, and I really appreciated sort of distancing myself from just myself for a little bit, which is, it's a nice thing to do, and it's a nice way to be able to do it with somebody that's, to be completely honest, touring in a way that I probably will never get to tour, you know, with buses and stuff like that. And I think to let songs lay dormant for a while gives you an enthusiasm that for some songs may have been lost a little bit. But just to be able to sit at home and play songs and work on songs and play old songs feels really good.
Lynn, recently Randy Bachman went on air saying that women don't really have road songs, that it seems to be a guy thing.
Randy, you're wrong. Like, I probably have 100 road songs, and the song I'm going to do, I actually wrote driving across the Mojave Desert at night, so there you go.
I think it needs no explanation if you play it.
All right.
Taking a night drive, I think I'm losing my nerve. On every simple straightaway, on every sinking curve, I want somebody to take the wheel, navigate for a while. Tell me how brave I've been. Try to make me smile. Right now I need something for the shakes. I need to fix the brakes. I need a road to take me home. It's straight and true. I need to lay my burdens down in an understanding town. But most of all, I need someone to talk to. Wrecks, too many broken down cars. I know that highways aren't lonesome, people are. Oh, sad little gypsies, I'm one of them now. Oh, and the crazy thing is when I get back, probably gonna wanna turn around. But right now I need something for the shakes. I need to fix the brakes. I need a road to take me home. It's straight and true. I need to lay my burdens down in an understanding town. But most of all, someone to talk to. Feels like I got 18 wheels in tow. There's always somebody in my way, somebody trying to pass me by, somebody trying to race, somebody trying to make me cry. Right now I need something for the shakes, and I need to fix the brakes. I need a road to take me home, straight and true. I need to lay my burdens down on an understanding town. The most of all, I need someone to talk to.
Night Drive, Lynn Miles' song from her new album, Love, Sweet Love, assisted with his wicked guitar skills, Jim Bryson, and his foot on a tambourine there on the floor for those at home or those that can't see in the audience. Now, you're singing about going away from home. You're singing about being on the road all the time. What are the things that you miss most when you're spending week after week away from home? Lynn, do you want to start?
There's so many things. I mean, I miss out on birthdays and those kinds of things, and that's not fun. I miss hanging out with the people I love, and I miss cooking, and I miss the smell of my bed. And it's amazing when you're on the road how heavy your suitcase becomes. And like every time you go somewhere, you've got to lug all this stuff around. So,
Jim?
I miss Lisa.
Aww.
Because I actually really like touring, and that is the biggest drag for me, is just having someone at home that you miss.
You're making me
Lisa's
look bad
a girl,
in front of my,
a really
she's
pretty
making
girl.
You look bad in front of my boyfriend. Oh, you're the one I miss the most. You know that, honey. We'll talk about it when we get home.
When I wink twice, love that you. Means I miss you. I think your musical tendencies go back further than anyone else I've ever had on this show. Your mom apparently says there was only one way that you'd stop singing. What was that?
When I fell asleep. I would be in my crib and she'd know that I was asleep when the singing stopped. That was her. Thank God she's finally asleep.
What kind of singing does a child still young enough to be in a crib sing?
I was singing light opera. Not any of the heavy arias, you know, Wagner or anything like that, but just some light stuff. You
Now, by the age of 15, both of you were well on your way to finding your musical feet. Jim, more or less... Well, maybe you can tell me a little bit of the story. You were raised in Stittsville.
Yeah.
Correct? And before it became upscale. This is what I've read.
I'll take you for a little trip that's not so upscale.
So what role did music play in the Bryson household?
Honestly, not very much. Well, I mean, we were like... My mother played piano and there was a piano, but we used to have this thing where we did these air bands and stuff to Cheap Trick, but I was always the drummer. I was never... And I was happy with that. My brother was always the singer. Our neighbor's dad worked for CJOH, the television station in Ottawa here, and he was vice president of engineering, so he had all this stuff around his house. I remember one day we sat up in the living room with, like, lights on my brother. Like, he had a spotlight coming up off the ground, and I could see him from behind. And all I saw was, like, my brother with, like, this light shining on him, and I was just sort of behind him with, like, you know, a couple chairs or whatever were the drums for the time, and we were doing the Dream Police.
That's a high-tech household.
Yeah.
Jim, do you remember the first song you ever played in public?
I remember the first song I sang. I sang the Cars Drive at a teen dance in Stittsville. And it was an interesting band because our drummer went on to go to jail. But he used to do this thing where he'd get the keys to the Lions Club in Stittsville. And when he got them, he would take a whole bunch of beer. So we'd have all this beer. It was like we were rock stars. We were like 15. And I remember the drummer specifically that his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend showed up. And I remember... like, feeling it was really my moment, you know, on the synthesizer. And he jumped over the drum kit and started a fight right in the middle of the show. And I was like, wow, I've arrived. This is the life I want.
During Drive? Oh, I never knew that song could kind of get people so riled up. Well, would you still consider the Cars a big musical influence on you?
Not particularly. I mean, I thought their songs were good enough to sing one of them, but... it wasn't important to me in any way.
So it's not the cover you've chosen to play today?
No. I can't even remember how it goes. I just remember the melody of it. But I decided that I'd play a friend's song, which is a Chris Page. And just a really beautiful song of his that I played once in Toronto. And I believe it's called the Deadweight Song. I never know the names of songs, but... So anyway.
I think this audience will be receptive.
All that is gone, well, I've shut out and made way for blonde streaks. And I'm saved by the drones of the distant kids hanging on an evening's breeze. And it seems like we get along as your breath settles on my tongue. And the ghosts from the shoreline hum. They're dead weight songs. So carve the way back home and light the harvest fields, the moon that straddles your dim cheeks. If you're a lost love now and the safety works in crowds, with this damage ever haunting me. And it seems like we get along
as your breath settles on my tongue. And the ghosts from the shoreline hum. They're dead weight songs. They're dead weight songs.
Jim Bryson with a stunning cover of Deadweight Songs. The cover may not be familiar to the rest of the nation, but we locals recognize it as a song by Chris Page. The locale is Ottawa. I'm Amanda Putz, and you're tuned to Fuse today on CBC Radio. We will be right here in this time slot for the rest of the summer, so check out cbc.ca/bandwidth/fuse. Jim, back in the day, the drums that you actually started playing drums.
I played drums at
for a couple of years.
Yeah. I did have an incident on drums in public school. You didn't call my parents.
No, but I might want to hear a little more about this incident.
Because my mother doesn't take kindly to people she doesn't know calling, so I'd hate to see the response you got. I did have an incident in grade 5 or 4. We were doing the 12 Days of Christmas. No, we were 12 drummers drumming. And part of the day concert was that I was part of the 12 drummers drumming. I had this toy drum kit. But I accidentally put the bass pedal, when I pushed it down, it went through the little skin because it was just a toy kit. And I might have swore. And I had a bit of a behavioral problem as a youth. I spent a lot of time in the hall and stuff. I mean, it's not funny if it's you. Okay? It's not... So I wasn't part of the night concert that the parents went to. We thought maybe it was better for everyone.
Was that the beginning of your downhill slide emotionally and self-esteem-wise?
No, I've been doing pretty good lately, so...
Lynn and I are determined to get you out of your shell by the end of this hour. So this last album, brand new out, you're going to play something from it?
Yes. I'm going to play this song. This is called This Is the Night. And a lot of people, not a lot of people, but sometimes I'm at a radio station or something, or someone will come up and say, can you play something happy? Or, you know, and I'm like, do I look like I can play something happy? But I actually wrote this song. It's actually a positive song. And after I wrote it, I went, oh my God, I just wrote a positive song. And I took my temperature and went to bed for a couple of days, and then everything was fine again. But so this is called This Is the Night. And Jimmy's going to play this very sweet little... Is that a tenor banjo?
I don't know. It's almost a ukulele banjo.
Yeah, it's something. It's very old. And
makes me look tall.
And thin. we've been talking about...
You wonder why I have self-esteem problems.
That's right.
Friends like this.
Yeah, really. No, but he cooked me dinner last night, and when he pulled it out of the oven, he said, looks like a Weight Watchers special, doesn't it? So then we had this long discussion about carbohydrates and, you know, weight issues and stuff like that. That's the only reason I said that is because there's a scale backstage here, and we were going to have a weigh-in before we came on stage, and I said, no way.
I didn't want to send him to the dark side, too.
That's right. So that's why I didn't mean anything by that, Jimmy. I love you, and I think you're the greatest person on the planet.
It's a good backstory.
Yeah.
I'll play the song.
Okay.
Yeah.
to the ledge of somewhere. Dark and crazy with lots of wind and rain. For every word you spoke when someone didn't listen. For every tear you cried that hit the ground away. This is a night when all the stars are in their heavens. Something beautiful's tugging on the line. Every door you ever struggled for will open. Every simple truth will show itself and shine. You took that took you 2 steps back. For every card you got that wasn't in the deal. For every song you sang that's lost and gone forever. For every time you justify the way you feel. This is a night when all the stars are in their heavens. Something beautiful's tugging on the line. Show itself and shine. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. Show me a thunderstorm and I'll show you the sunlight. Show me the black and white and I will show you the gray. Show me a tragedy and I'll show you a hero. Tonight I know that everything is gonna be okay. Hey, yeah, yeah. This is a night when all the stars are in their heavens. Something beautiful's tugging on the line. Every door you ever struggled for will open. Every simple truth will show itself and shine. This is a night when all the stars are in their heavens. Something
is The Night from Lynn Miles' latest album. A little assistance from Jim Bryson on banjo and backing up some vocals there. Lynn, you spent some time working for a publishing company in LA, and you got paid a salary to write songs.
I did.
Just to
like
churn them out.
It's like winning the lottery. I didn't have to churn a lot out. I only had to write like 10 songs a year, which for me was easy, you know.
Did you write the same kind of songs, knowing they were for other people, that you would write for yourself?
No, he signed me. He was the guy. He signed Lyle Lovett and Ronnie Crowell, and he just said, you know, just write what you want to write. I'm never going to tell you to change anything. Just be who you are, which is like, I won the lottery. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jim, have you ever intentionally written a song for somebody else to perform?
I once wrote a song. I was in this a band with Tom Stewart of Furnace Face and Al Mortimer. They had a band once called the Brothers Five, which was four guys, actually. And then that was about 10 years before, and they decided to reunite it with mostly different members. And because of our age, we called it the Brothers 55. So I wrote a song. I called it a land shanty because it was something, a tragic story about something that happened to somebody on the land. So... early on, like, I would do it at shows and people would recognize it and tell me to record it and stuff. But I tried recording it once and it was just so weird. It was completely weird.
Didn't work.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, definitely.
That actually, talking about that reminded me that you once told me that you had this great band name. I've remembered it ever since, that you were going to call your band, if you ever formed another one,
The Regina Port Authority?
Yeah. I love that. Now it's out there on national radio. Hopefully nobody steals it, but...
I really hope they don't, because it's not a bad name when you think about it.
They're copywriting it right now. Jim, let's hear a sample of something new from Jim Bryson, the debut on Fuse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it kind of is. I love Ottawa, but it's the kind of town that people leave to after high school, and they go other places, and they call you. And in my case, they call you and tell you how great it was where they were, and why would you ever want to stay where you are? It gets a little tiring hearing from people telling you how good their life is somewhere else other than where you are. So it's sort of, maybe it's a response to writing a song about wanting to leave where I was. So, and Lynn's going to play some piano. And it's the perfect time of year for your self-congratulations. Wear your favorite dress, paint this town like you ain't coming back. We'll trade in all of these relations for some sense of order, and move off your old street to a place just at the border, a little bit closer to what you always hoped for. But at the same time every year, you suddenly appear, but there's no one that you could even remember, that you would even remember. And it's the perfect time to cheer for your self-annihilation in your favorite dress. Let's paint this town like you ain't ever coming back. Paint the town like you ain't coming back. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do. Do, 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 do.
You just take your time, Jim, because if that's any indication, it's well worth the wait. Sitting around talking about you and your songs is something you're not very comfortable with. Why is that?
I love. No. Honestly, I think that there's more interesting things than hearing someone talk about themselves, to be frank. I mean, I don't want to be rude or anything like that, because it's a wonderful show you have, and I might not be asked back saying that, but I mean...
Get off the stage.
I don't know. I think that... I remember a friend of mine said, you know, I wouldn't worry too much about your self-esteem, because any musician has to have a self-esteem problem. Think about it. You get on stage as your job, and you need people to clap for you every 3.5 minutes. By trade, it belongs with low self-esteem. The whole songwriting process to me is that it's a very quick thing. Like, I record it, like an idea, and I try to get enough words to get through a verse, and then I put it away and I don't listen to it for a while, and then I go back and listen to it, and then I think about words and stuff like that.
Well, that's true, and I just want to add on to something that Jim was saying about, you know, how people clapping for you every 3.5 minutes. And then the truth is, like, you experience that, and then at the end of the show, you go in the dressing room and you kick yourself because you think, God, that sucked. Like, it's never... There's a lot of people in this industry who are perfectionists, and the problem with being a perfectionist is that it's never good enough. And so you will receive all this love and stuff from the audience, and then you go back and think, oh, God, I could have done every song better, or I could have... I mean, I don't live that way anymore, but I used to. And it's a very unsatisfying way to live, because you drive and drive and drive, and you want your hour and a half on stage to be special. And if you can't walk away feeling good about it, you know, taking all the applause and everything, then it's a hard, that's a really hard way to live. And I know people who do that, and I used to be like that.
I've seen so many shows where you're waiting and you're waiting, and you're excited, and you get to it, and the person's not in the mood to play. And you know what? You go home and it's like, to hell with them.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have a horrible job, and this was the highlight of my week. And I came here and they're whining about the deli tray or something like that. Like, when you think about it,
which we did do before the show, but
yeah.
There is, and just for the listeners, there is
the lack thereof.
There is no deli tray.
We paid your cab fare, okay?
They gave us a bottle of water. And it was warm.
Ungrateful wretches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the music community in this city is very small, so it's not really a coincidence that our own Fuse producer, Bill Stunt, also produced both of your debut albums, I guess.
Yes, that's right.
And you're going to play a song.
He's a great producer.
He is a great producer. Yeah. Fabulous producer. And he also played the guitar solo on the song that you're about to play.
That's right. Do you want to play it? Come on.
He's shaking his head.
Are you sure?
Jim Bryson will play the part of Bill Stunt today.
He's not playing it.
Well, there will be no guitar solo, but there'll be a piano solo instead.
No more guitar.
I'd like to hear your scaled down version.
Okay. Well, this is a very old song, and everywhere I go, I still get asked for this song. I wrote it just after the Montreal Massacre. What it means to me now is that there's still a bunch of rich white guys ruling the world, and I think that's a problem. That's what it means to me now. It's sort of changed in my mind. But this is Hockey Night in Canada. And isn't it been a great year without hockey? Just kidding. I'm kidding. It's hockey night in Canada. There's a blue freshly fallen, frozen snow, with my heart beneath my duffel coat, my dreams turning to icicles. I wish there was a sunny summer sky, and I was cruising on my bicycle, and I just these skating rinks and the boys. catch our breath and to build our speed. And I would wait for all the lights to change to green, and I would march right through and take it down the afternoon avenue. Oh, that's what I would do.
Goosebumps.
Oh, thank you.
Vintage Lynn Miles with Hockey Night in Canada from her 1991 release.
91? Holy
Can I tell
cow.
A story about Lynn really quick? It's a really, really good story.
I think it's a good time.
You know, Lynn has always meant a lot to me in Ottawa because she's been very, very supportive. And Lynn had a show at the Edmonton Folk Festival, and I went, found myself a place on the hill by myself, and I watched, and you were playing one of your songs, and I just sort of lay back and started bawling my eyes out.
And
yeah, I know. I'm almost going to cry telling the story. But yeah, and it just, for anyway, you've been someone that's meant a lot to me. So it's an honor for me to do this. Even though now we just sit around and joke like we're cousins or something like that, you know.
I would say brother and sister is a pretty good analogy.
Yeah, cousins is a little creepy. Especially with that ball cap on. But thank you, Jimmy. That's really sweet. Thank you.
That's a great story, Jim Bryson.
Yeah, I told you it was.
Jim Bryson and Lynn Miles are fusing today on CBC Radio. I'm Amanda Putz. Lynn, what do you admire about Jim's music?
I think he paints watercolors. I think it's beautiful. His songs are very evocative. His songs are very singable. I mean, after I hear a Jim concert or I've played his record, I'm humming the songs. They're like really catchy, sweet little things that just little beautiful hooks and beautiful images.
Lynn breaks my heart. And the best way I describe Lynn to people is that in every line of every one of Lynn's songs, there's no bullshit. And you can tell every ounce of pain that she's felt goes into all of her songs. And I just think it's the most real, beautiful, devastating music that can be made. To be completely honest.
Sharing hugs and kisses. I can't wait to hear what you do together. You were certainly not strangers before Fuse hooked you up for today's show, but how did you go about the process of teaming up all the things that you worked on today? Lynn, if you want to start.
I made her dinner. I'm going first. No. No, that's what we did, right? You came over and I made you dinner.
You made me dinner. And I like to say that we put the us back in Fuse. Hey, Jimmy? Is that what we decided?
Yeah. We certainly have.
It's like we'd known each other for years.
Yeah. We've never sat around and played music together.
I know. So. And we decided that
really
we're going to do
we
it again sometime. That's what Fuse has done for us. So we thank you, Fuse.
You're going to fuse on a Neil Young cover today.
Yes, I chose this for my cover song because of playing at the Bayshore Hotel when I was underage and winning the Bottle of Matus, because every week I did play Neil Young songs. And a lot of times I get asked, hey, what were your influences? And I've forgotten about it until last weekend, which was my bad weekend. I drove to Minnesota, and it's a 20-hour drive to play some shows. And then but driving down the Trans-Canada, you go through Blind River. And I started singing, up in Blind River, because I used to sing that song at the Bayshore Hotel talent night and win the Matus. So I thought, I'd really like to do that song. And then it was hammered home when that woman came up to me in the coffee shop and told me what the evil Randy Bachman said about women in road songs. Randy, you're like an amazing guitar player, so please excuse my anything I've said about you in
really
any kind
of...
Yeah, so it sort of all came together, and I like this song a lot. It's called Long May You Run.
Long.
and Jim Bryson lighting up a cover of Neil Young's Long May You Run. Splendid. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for the music today. Lynn and Jim, thank you so much for coming.
I could say thanks for having us. It was lovely. I feel very honored and privileged to play with Jim and to be on this wonderful show. And I hope you can do like years and years and years of this show because I love the format and think the audience really did.
To you guys.
Yeah. And if we could be the new hosts, that would be fine as well.
Thanks, baby. I really hope that we boosted Jim's self-esteem by one iota today.
It's not
Lynn.
So bad, really.
Do you want to listen to the tape?
If you want to tell us your thoughts, email fuse@cbc.ca. If you want to tell Jim Bryson how great he is, you can email that. Or phone 613-288-6536. You can check out cbc.ca/bandwidth/fuse to find out what's coming up every week on Fuse. Fuse ignited today because of the hard work of Bill Stunt, Caitlin Crockard, Shane Bryanton, Pierre Renaud, and Carolyn Carson. I'm Amanda Putz. Tune in next week. We'll be right back.